You know, it's good to be back. I don't know about you. I think I can say this and get away with it, but I'm proud of these kids that's up here every Sunday morning. They're doing a great job. And I was noticing, I don't know if anybody else noticed, I think Ben got a haircut getting ready for this next week. When I saw him earlier in the week, his hair was not quite that short. But, you know, I am really thankful. I'm really proud for these kids that we have here. I'm thankful for the younger folks we have. I'm thankful for the older folks too. But you know, it always says something when you walk into a church and there's young families there. It does a lot. This morning, Jason basically said I could do it any way I wanted to, so I'm going to do that. If you have your Bibles, and I know that you may have your Bible in a book like I have. Or you may have it on your phone, you may have it on a device. I know Joyce carries a device around with her, and that's where she reads it from. But I'd like for you to turn with me to Psalms 23, 23rd Psalm. Many of you could probably quote this by memory, but I want you to read along with me. I don't know if it's on the screen or not, but if not, we'll bear with it. So, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Shall we pray? Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to come to your house to share and to worship together. And Lord, we pray that the things that are said and done this morning will be done so in accordance to your will and not ours. Lord, we pray that if there's anyone here that needs to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they will come to that saving knowledge this morning. And Lord, we are thankful for all the blessings we have. We're thankful for the rain that we received last night. We're thankful for the fellowship that we received this morning. And Lord, we pray for this church, that we might grow in the way that you would want us to, that we might be able to reach out to those that we need to, that we might share the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to those that are lost. Lord, again, we thank you. We pray, Lord, for our young people that are going to camp starting tomorrow, that you will be with them, that you will be with the directors, that you will lead them, and Lord, that lives might be changed. Lord, again, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we look to this, you know, Jason has been talking about baggage. And I thought it was good and appropriate. Also, this week, and I don't know why I tuned it in, but anybody know who Max Lucado is? You heard of Max Lucado? He has a teaching session about baggage, and it's called Traveling Light. And so I felt like the Lord was trying to say something to me that maybe we needed to talk about this just a little bit. Because you see, baggage is something that we all have. Whether we want to admit it or not, all of us have baggage. All of us are carrying loads that we shouldn't have to carry. Now, have you ever thought about the baggage that you're carrying? Have you ever thought that maybe somebody gave that baggage to you? That you inherited it from somebody? I know I've experienced in my life that sometimes people's attitudes, people's way of life, people's way of thinking, how they behave themselves, how they live their life as a family, is because of what they have done as children growing up in a particular family. My son, youngest son, he was sharing with me a few years ago that he was sitting in a Bible study And I went around the table, and people were talking about how they grew up, the family's experiences that they had. And some of them were abused, mistreated, and that had affected them in their adult life. And he said, "Dad, it came around to me." He said, "I didn't have anything negative to say. I didn't have a bad childhood. I enjoyed my childhood." And that said a lot to me. Yeah, we were in church every Sunday. Joyce and I took our kids to church. There never was a time that maybe they had stayed out late on Saturday night, but they knew when it was time to get up on Sunday morning where we were going to go. And it made me feel good to realize that I hadn't put a bunch of stuff on my kids. Now, maybe our baggage, we picked some things up as we have encountered life. You know, I can look back in my life and realize that there's been some things that I have picked up. Maybe some prejudices. You know, I will be the first to admit that I have a prejudice. It has nothing to do with color. But if you have attitude, I'm prejudiced. That's one thing that I had dealt with over the years. I talked about being in a previous life. I was a bivocational pastor, and I worked a job, and then I pastored a church as well. But what really turned me off was those folks that came to work every day with an attitude. Really turned me off. But there are prejudices that we have. There's frustrations that we deal with. There are burdens that we have that we deal with. Maybe it's been an illness. Maybe it's been something in our life that we can't control. But nevertheless, it's there, and it affects us in what we do. And you know, sometimes I feel like the Apostle Paul, as he talked about in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." Have you ever been there, done that? I don't understand what I'm doing, what I don't want to do, those are the things I do. I think we oftentimes are afflicted with that. And the devil likes to turn the knobs, so to speak, and to get us excited about those things that really have no impact on, but nevertheless they're there. And we need to realize that. As I look at Psalms today, I think about what the psalmist is saying, what David is saying. And we know that David had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we realize that he wanted to please God, and realizing that in doing that, he recognized God. Rich Mullins, I don't know if you know who Rich Mullins was. He was a musical artist back in the 70s and 80s. And he wrote a song, "My God is an Awesome God." Remember that? And I believe that with all my heart, that my God that I serve is an awesome God. He is the creator of the world. Everything that we know, the heavens, the earth, everything that there is. And you know, as I get older, I have a tendency to sit and ponder. That's probably a word that people don't use anymore. But I ponder on things, and I think about God has got to have a tremendous sense of humor, doesn't he? The things that he has created, and I'm not talking about people, but the things he's created. The insects, the flowers, the trees, the aquatic life, all those little things that we might not notice or take for granted, God probably looks at those things and he has a smile on his face. And then he looks at us. And the Bible says that he loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. I believe that God is an awesome God. The Lord, the psalmist says, is my shepherd. I have no reason to want. Now, I guess my question this morning is, the Lord your shepherd? Now remember that a shepherd takes care of a flock of sheep. Doesn't matter if it's 2 or 3 or 3,000, he takes care of a sheep. I look at our pastor and I think we are very fortunate because he takes care of his sheep. I've had conversations with Jason, and it's easy to see that he loves you. I remember being a pastor myself and Joyce getting frustrated at me because I was reluctant to take time away from the church for a vacation. We needed a family vacation, but it was always difficult for me just to step away because I didn't trust anybody enough to say, okay, here's my flock. And I'm thankful that we have a pastor that loves us, that cares for us, that concerns about us. But the Lord is our shepherd. I lack for nothing. And then it says, He leads me beside quiet waters. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. You know, sometimes, oftentimes, it's our stubbornness, it's our hard-headedness, and it's kind of a joke in our family that Papa and Dad is pretty hard-headed. But that's okay, I guess. But you know, I think about things that are going to affect other people. And I really don't want anybody to get hurt or get, you know, have. So I have some things that I get grouchy. And my youngest grandson will be 6 in September. He's a very active young man. And we were together here a couple, 3 weeks ago, and he was doing something, and I kind of grouched at him, and he gets his face, you know, he looks like that. Doesn't quite understand Papa yet. Now, the rest of the grandkids kind of do, but he hadn't yet. But we get stubborn, don't we? We get grouchy. We get frustrated and hard-headed. But, you know, whenever God leads us, we find that sense of refreshment that refreshes us in this life that we live. And sometimes we need that. You know, Joyce and I like to camp. We like to travel. And since I'm retired, she's retired, and I have kids living in almost opposite ends of the country, it gives us opportunity. One's in Utah, one's in Virginia. And so we get to travel. But earlier in the year, we were traveling, and we had made plans to stay in a state park in Oklahoma. And the lady at the office had given us directions how to go and get there. And I pull onto this paved road, and the thing has potholes in it. And you know, I'm driving about 5 miles an hour, hoping that I don't drop an axle off in a pothole. But you know, when we get back there to the camp, it's on the side of, there's a lake there, and it's a beautiful place. And sometimes I think our lives are like that. We're traveling down this road, and as a result of what life has dealt to us, we have these potholes that we have to maneuver around. But you know, when we get to the place where God wants us to be in our life, it's a beautiful experience. And we need to realize that as we go there, sometimes we're going to have those potholes. Sometimes we're going to have to slow down. And sometimes that may be frustrating. I get frustrated as we travel and as we drive, and we have driven through some big cities here, particularly in this year. I would challenge anyone to, you know, pray before you do it, but we went through Atlanta this year with a camper. That was a real challenge, but what was really frustrating is those people that pass you and just cut right in front of you, and then everything slows down, and Joyce and I talk about it. What was the purpose? You know, what did they gain? A car length? But that's kind of how we are in our lives today. We want to hurry up and get someplace. What are we going to do when we get there? We're going to have to sit and wait. But I think we as Christians just need to slow down. You know, as we think about the path that we go, Solomon wrote this in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. You know, that's the biggest problem that I have. Sometimes I talk about getting hard-headed, and I get frustrated. And I realize that God's way is the best way, but you know, I have this tendency to say, Lord, why can't I go this way? And oftentimes, as I said, Joyce and I like to travel, and we had an experience this year. Luckily, my camper's not real big. Going down the road, and I pass a stoplight, go through an intersection, and go on down the road, and Joyce looks at her little device and said, we should have turned back there. You ever had that? We should have turned back there. Well, how, you know. But nevertheless, I came to a wide spot in the road. And my old pickup and that camper, we made a U-turn and went back. Sometimes we need to make that U-turn in our life to get back to where we need to go. If we will just pay attention to what God is saying to us and realize that he will make that path straight for us and be attentive to what he's saying to us in our lives. And then he says, even though I'm going through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you're with me, your rod and your staff, you comfort me. That darkest valley may not be death. I've often said, and I realized this a few years back when my dad was suffering with Alzheimer's. And before he got to the point where he didn't recognize me and couldn't carry on a conversation, he and I were sitting in the car, and he made this comment to me, I just wish the Lord would call me home. Well, that was about a year before he did pass away. One of the roughest years in my life, dealing with him having Alzheimer's. It's really frustrating when your dad that you love so much does not recognize who you are. Folks, I'm a firm believer that there are things worse than death. Since we have lived here in the last 3 or 4 years, I've known individuals that have suffered from depression so severely that they've taken their life. Depression is a real thing. And somehow, some way, it affects all of us. But even though we're walking through that valley of that shadow of death, to realize that God is with us, that His love overshadows everything about us, that we shouldn't be fearful. That's one of the baggage that we carry that Jason talked about was fear. And fear can overwhelm us. It can control our lives. I remember my mother was a very, very paranoid person. She was afraid to do anything. She was afraid for me to do anything. But I've known a lot of folks that were afraid to do anything because something might happen. Fear. It controls a lot of people. But you know, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, this is what Jesus said. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Come to me, everyone that is burdened down and weary. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life that I just felt like I was carrying the weight of the world. And sometimes we feel like that we can't go on. But Jesus says, if you're weary, if you're burdened down, if come to me. And I can imagine him with open arms as he says, come to me. And I'll give you rest. I'll give you that peace. I'll give you that happiness. Don't be weary anymore. And then as he prepares for us that place and he anoints us and he says, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And we do battle every day. I don't know about you, but I feel like I battle the devil every day. Some days I'm successful and some days I'm not. But I like what the Apostle Paul says as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I like the part that says my grace is sufficient. The sufficiency of God's grace covers everything else. It doesn't matter what we've done, where we've been, who we are. It doesn't matter what kind of reputation that we might have. It doesn't matter how depressed we might be, how frustrated we might feel. It doesn't matter if our kids are in jail. It doesn't matter if we've been divorced, we've had abortions. It doesn't matter. God's grace is sufficient to cover everything. And he wants us to realize that in our lives. Every single day, my grace is sufficient for you. And then, as we close out this morning, we talked about this in Sunday school, and the interesting thing, we've been studying Revelations, at least in the class that I've been attending, and the interesting thing to me is what Jesus said. He says he knows where we live. I know who you are. And what that tells me is the Lord Jesus Christ is a personal Lord and Savior. I remember back in the 70s, Tom T. Hall wrote a song. Me and Jesus got it all worked out. You know, and that's the thing that I hope that I leave with you this morning, that my Lord and Savior is a personal Savior to you and to me. I know you. That's what he's saying to us. I know you. I know who you are. I know where you live. I know every aspect of your life. Those things that we would like to stay hidden, that have stayed hidden, from even the people that we love. There are things that are personal in us that nobody else knows, but God knows. And Jesus is saying to us, I know you. I know you. And then as we talked about this morning in our Sunday school class, what does Jesus say in Revelations chapter 3, verse 20? Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, and they with me. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Was he saying that to the church of Laodicea? Was he saying that to individuals? I'd like to say yes. Yes, he was. He's speaking that to individuals, but he's also speaking that to the church. And for us as a church, it's important for us to understand that Jesus Christ wants to be a part of every aspect that we do as a church. As a group of baptized believers, Jesus wants to be in everything that we do. Every aspect that we speak, do, have activities for. Jesus Christ should be the first and foremost of everything that we do. Because if we don't do it for Jesus, who are we going to do it for? Are we doing it for ourselves? I hope not. But it's important for us to understand. Jesus is saying, here I am. Here I am. And maybe he's saying that to you this morning. Here I am. This morning, we sang a song. One of my favorites, Amazing Grace. And I like both versions. I like the old one and I like the new one. But every time I sing it, every time I hear it, I can't help it, but I get tears. When I think about God's amazing grace for you and for me, and Jesus is saying to us today, here I am. I'm standing at your heart's door. I'm standing at the door of the church and I'm knocking. If anyone will open that door, I will come in and I will eat with them and they with me. That fellowship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ is so important in our lives. And I encourage you that if you do not have that personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you accept him into your heart and into your life in a very real way. One of the things that Jesus spoke to the church of Laodicea, we didn't talk about this morning, but if you earnestly repent, think about that just a little bit. If you earnestly repent, in other words, you're doing it not because somebody else wants you to, not because that's the proper thing to do, but if you earnestly, sincerely, in your heart, want to repent to God, that's what Jesus was telling to the church of Laodicea. If you earnestly repent, you'll be forgiven. Earnestly and tenderly, we need to be calling the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives. If you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life, I encourage you to do that. We're going to close out this morning. And I invite you to make a decision. You can either fill out one of those little cards on the back of the pew, submit that into the offering plate, and Jason will be getting in contact with you. I'm kind of old-fashioned. If you feel like the Lord's calling you and touching your life, I encourage you to step out and come forward. and let Jesus come into your heart. Let's close with a word of prayer here. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy, your goodness and your grace. And Lord, as we think about how awesome you are in our lives, as we think about the things that you have done and that you're doing and continue to do, because you're our God yesterday, today, and tomorrow, for all eternity. And Lord, I pray that we have the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, that we can live and testify for him in everything that we do. Lord, I just thank you for these that have showed up today, that are here. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone that needs to know Jesus Christ, that they make that decision today. Lord, I just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.